God is so good. So good. I love that song. When I heard they were doing that song tonight, I'm like, yeah, that's a good one. I really love it. Well, hello.
Hello.
I'm just going to keep talking, nothing really, until I can get myself all set up. Put up your hand if you have had, or if you're a father, and you have got something really, really fabulous today. Oh, good, Dad put up his hand. What did you get that was fabulous, Dad?
I got a coffee cup. It was an eel's coffee cup.
I have to say that was a big sacrifice on Adrian's my part, because none of us go for the eels. None of us. That's pretty cool. Well, happy Father's Day, fathers.
Thank you.
Well, we've been talking over the last few weeks. It's been broken up a bit by guest speakers, but we've been talking about leadership. And so I'm going to continue talking about leadership tonight. And I want to tell you some things that I've discovered in my own life and some things that God is speaking to me about now as well. And I think this year in my life, God's really pushing me to a new level in leadership. And he always will keep doing that with all of us when we ask him. But he's really doing that to me this year and I'm feeling it. And I think he's really getting some stuff sorted in my life so that I can be an effective leader for him. And what I want to talk to you about tonight is really what I believe to be at the core of leadership. And basically, I've got 3 points, and they all pretty much flow on one to the other. So when we talk about leadership, I'm not necessarily talking about you leading a team or you, I know, being the manager of some amazing corporation or something. I just want you to think right now about those who you have some influence over just in your everyday sphere of life. So at school or at work or at uni or wherever you might be, who is it that you have influence over? And or who is it that God has called you to have influence over as well? And that's really what I want to address tonight. And, you know, when you ask God to use you and to use you to lead others, he will bless that and he will develop things inside of you, and it's just amazing. So I want to apologise to my soul members, because probably what I'm talking about tonight you've heard over and over again for the last forever. So you guys are already experts, but everybody else, because our cell is the best. Oh, come on, as if it isn't. All right. So I'm just going to start with the 3 points. My first point is the most important thing that we need in our life to be leaders, that I believe, is that we need to know God's love for us. We have to have our lives firmly planted in God's love for us, and we need to know it. We really need to know it. And this is something that in my life, I've always had, you know, the head knowledge of, yeah, God loves me. I know God loves me. And I've been able to tell that to anybody. Oh, you know, God loves you. That's fine. You don't need to worry. God loves you. But this year, God's really been working in my heart and saying, do you really base your life on the fact that I love you? And what I've found sort of he's been doing is 2 things. Number one, he has been showing me that I can't base my life upon what everybody else thinks of what I'm doing. And that's something that I know I fall into the trap of all the time. We just can't allow ourselves to think that we're good or bad or whatever because of what somebody else is thinking of us. We really need to know God's love for us like nothing else. And, you know, if we're trying to all the time be pleasing others, we're running around, and really I've discovered you're just nowhere near as effective, and you get run down and tired, and it's just not worth it. And that's one of the things that God's really been planting in my heart. The other thing is that we can't base our opinion of God's love for us on the things that we do as well. I know sometimes I'm like, oh, God must love me now because I did a really good job at whatever it might be. Or if I happen to feel like I've done something really, really awfully, which I often feel like, all of a sudden, often in my mind, I think God must be really upset with me, and somehow or other I think that he doesn't love me as much as he does at other times. And that's something else that we really need to get rid of from our thinking. We need to know so, so much that God loves us. And he doesn't love us because of what we do. He doesn't love us because of who we are. He loves us purely because he's God, and God is love. And that's just an incredible thought. It doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter how well we think we've done something. It doesn't matter. God loves us, and that's what we need to base our lives on. I have some verses, just a few in a row, which I'm going to run through. And I really just want you to get into your heart some of God's thoughts towards you. So this first one is from Psalm 139, verse 17 to 18. And I really like the way that the New Living Translation has put it, so I'm going to read it out from the New Living Translation. So it's Psalm 139, verse 17. It says, "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They are innumerable. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand." And I just think that's incredible. If you think about the grains of sand on earth, and I know we did this in Seoul a little while ago, and we're like, okay, all of the sand on all the beaches, all of the sand in the deserts, all of the sand on the bottom of the ocean floor, that's a lot of grains of sand. Yeah. That is innumerable, pretty much. Only God could know that. And yet that's his thoughts towards us. And that's just incredible that God would think that about us when we're so small and he's so big. Yeah. Amazing. All right, a couple more. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. This one's actually very quick. It's actually a little bit longer, but basically the bit I want to pull out of it is that you were bought at a price. I was bought at a price as well. And that price is the Son of God. And oh, think about that. God, who is perfect, who is holy, that he would give his Son for us and actually pay for our lives with his Son. That's incredible. I mean, we are so valued, so, so valued. And I think part of that is knowing just how amazing God is. And actually, we're going to come to that. But we need to know, you know, God is the King of everywhere, of the universe, not just of our little part of the earth, or not even just the earth in general, but the universe. And yet he's even bigger than that. Like, that's just incredible. And yet that same God said, you know, you are bought at a price. Yeah. And he has redeemed us. I think that's just amazing. Yeah. All right, another one. John 17, verse 23. Actually, this is really incredible. I'm going to pull it over here so I can see a bit better. It says, "Then the world will know that you sent me." So Jesus here is, he's praying about our relationship with God and us really knowing who God is. And he says, "Then the world will know that you sent me, and they will understand that you love them as much as you love me." Now, I think about that, and I think, how much does God love his Son? All of you fathers, it's Father's Day. Think about how much you love your children. I know that doesn't apply to very many people here, but think about how much a father would love their son or love their daughter. And yet Jesus is saying, "I wish that they would know that you love them as much as you love me." Another translation says that you love them even as you have loved me. I mean, that's just incredible. And, you know, this is something I can tell you and I can tell you and I can tell you, but it's something you've got to get into your heart. It doesn't really matter what I say, or it's something that you have to get into your heart. And I just want you to know that God values you and loves you, not because of anything you've done or not because of anything you haven't done, but just because he loves you. And I have to say, I've been putting this in my journal over and over and over again. God loves me just because he loves me. And I'm not getting it all the time. Trust me, I'm going to be very honest with you guys. The last month and a half I've just struggled so much to really feel like I'm connecting with God. But in my journal all the time, almost every day, it says, "God loves me because he loves me." And you know, love isn't a feeling. Sometimes you mightn't feel like God loves you, but that doesn't change anything. God loves you. And if you know it, and you know it, you can base your life on it anyway, even when you don't feel it. And I want you to know, you cannot be effective leaders, if you just don't understand at the core of your being that God loves you, that he loves you so, so much. Yeah, very true, I think. You know, when we know God's love, that provides a solid rock upon which we can stand. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a leader that can stand strong even when stuff's coming against me. I want God to be my solid rock. I think part of this, and I mentioned it before, we can't really begin to grasp how much God loves us until we realize just how big God is and how amazing he is. And that's my second point. We need to recognize that we serve a holy God. We serve a holy God. I looked up holy in, I didn't really know what it was, Bible dictionary that we had at home. It was sort of a little bit difficult to get out the little bits. So I'm just going to tell you some words that sort of came out at me. So God is perfection, and God is righteousness, and there is no one like God. And I think we can't really be drawing near to God and hearing him and knowing how much he loves us unless we recognize that God is to be feared, and yeah, that we need to stand before him in absolute awe and reverence. I have in here, where is it? Here it is. I have a quote which I read out to my cell group as well. I keep mentioning my cell group because we've gone over this all the time. A quote from a book by John Bevere called Drawing Near. And it really sort of I've always in my head always been like, okay, what's it mean to fear God? Because it doesn't mean to be scared of God necessarily. It doesn't mean to be afraid of God, but this is what it means. I really like this definition. To fear God is to esteem, honour and hold him in highest regard, as well as to venerate, stand in awe and reverence him. It is to tremble with the greatest respect for him, his presence and his commands, as well as wishes. And this is only the beginning. And we serve an amazing God, a huge God. And I think when we really know and recognise that God loves us and just how amazingly big he is, then we will automatically want to follow him and obey him and have him lead us in everything that we do. And, you know, that's a good point. We can't actually be good leaders if we're not willing to follow God in the first place. God is so much bigger and better than we ever can be. But, you know, he loves us so much. I think that first and second point, you can't have one without the other. God loves us so, so, so much. I want to read out to you Psalm verse 8, because I think this just really shows us how much God loves us. And some of you will be very familiar with this already, but I love it and I want you all to hear it. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honour. You made him ruler over the works of your hands and you put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Isn't that incredible? I think one of my favourite parts in this, I was sitting on the beach probably maybe 6 weeks ago, and I was reading, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. And I'm like, wow, the heavens are the work of God's fingers. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, I think about my little finger and what I can do with my little finger, and it's not really that much. And yet the fact that God can create everything in just his hands. I mean, isn't that incredible? We're talking about a God who is big. I mean, I think, you know, God holds, you know, you hold the whole world in his hands, you know that song? I think we can, well, not sing that really, but I think we can know that. And I was, but like, it's not just the world that God holds in his hand. It's everything, the universe. And that's incredible. I mean, I really think that everyone should go and watch Chris Tomlin and Louis Giglio's, what are they called, How Great Is Our God? And the other one, whatever it is. And really get into your minds just how big the universe is and how small the earth is compared to the universe, let alone us on the earth. And yet, you know, God loves us so much. You know, when we fear God, when we truly stand before God in awe and in reverence, he will speak to us and let us know what's on his heart. I read this a few weeks ago in Drawing Near, John Bivy's book, and I was like, oh, wow. There were some verses that just I'd read over and over again and hadn't really hit me. So I want to read you out some verses that show us just how important it is to fear God and how God will speak to us when we do. So let's have a look at Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1, verse 7. I don't know why I'm looking up in my Bible. I've written them all out. All right. We all know this. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When we stand before God and we fear God, that's when we will begin to gain his wisdom and his knowledge, because he can speak to us. And he realizes that we're not just mucking around with him and we're not just, you know, there for a bit of fun, but we really want to serve him and really want to honor him and bring him glory. And, you know, when he knows that we're serious, he will impart his knowledge to us and his wisdom to us. And, you know, as a leader, that's what I want. I want God's knowledge and I want him to lead me. Psalm 25, verse 14. Give me a yell when you're there. I don't want to be rushing ahead. Psalm 25, verse 14. And Hannah will get there first because she always does. Oh, Hannah. That was very good, Heather. All right, this is good. I like this. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. Isn't that incredible? That the God confides in people who fear his name. And, you know, it really makes sense when you think about it. Just think of someone that you stand in awe of yourself. I don't know who that might be. It might be a movie star. It might be your dad, Father's Day. It could be anyone that you really stand in awe of. And don't you do everything that you can to please that person? And, you know, that person isn't actually going to confide secrets to them unless they really know that you're serious about not going and blabbing it to everyone else and not using it in some sort of awful way. And it's the same with God. You know, God's going to confide in us when he knows that we're serious. And, you know, when we fear God, we will do everything that we can to please him. We will obey him. We will serve him. We will love him. And that all flows from, one, knowing his love for us, and two, fearing him. I've got one more verse on that, which I really like this. Every time I read it, I'm like, wow. Isaiah 33, verse 5 to 6. He says this in Isaiah 33. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundations for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Isn't that incredible? And, you know, I want a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. And, you know, when we fear God, that becomes the key to the treasure. You know, I really would like it, but you don't have to. But seriously, consider going home and just letting God show you how big he is and how amazing he is, but how much he loves you. Because like I said, I can stand up here and, you know, speak my life away, but you guys are not going to get anything from it unless you talk to God and really seek him for yourself. And that's what I've had to do in my life. And let me tell you, I'm still getting this now, and I'm going to be challenged on this by God, I'm sure, every day for the rest of my life, because I'm human and I get things wrong. And I base my opinion of myself on what other people think. And I base my opinion of God's love on whether I think I'm doing something well or badly. But, you know, that's not the way it should be. And when we want to be effective leaders, we really just need to know that God loves us. Stand in fear of God. And the third thing I think really flows from this, and really, it's the outworking of knowing God's love for us and fearing God and wanting to obey God. And that's, we need to love people. I mean, we can't be leaders at all, really, if we don't love the people that we're leading. I just think there's something wrong when people are trying to lead people but don't really care for them. I was reading last year sometime, what's John Maxwell's book? Not the 21 Irrefutable Laws, the other one. Yeah, developing the leader within you. And I was reading that, and one of the key things it said was your people that you're leading have to know that you genuinely care about their welfare. I love it that it's in that book, which is written by a Christian guy but is set for, you know, a secular audience as well. And I love the fact that he says, you know, you need to care about the people that you are leading and serving. And I think we can take that a step further. We don't just have to care for them. We really need to love them with God's love. I really love looking at the example of Jesus when it talks about loving people, because no one can beat that. And he was incredible. I was thinking yesterday of the Samaritan woman and the fact that Jesus was walking into Samaria, to a place that the Jews really didn't like to go to and he didn't really like to associate with those people. And he comes in, and not only does he talk to a Samaritan person, but he talks to a Samaritan woman who would have been seen as the lowest of the low. And on top of that, he talks to a Samaritan woman who has had, I can't remember how many husbands, and she's had five or something, and living with someone who's not her husband. And, you know, most people in society would just, you know, turn their backs to that person and not really love them. But God went up to them, and God went up to her and talked to her. And, you know, she saved so many people because she really knew God's love for her, and because he reached out and he loved so many outcasts in society. And that just, it gets me every time, because it's so easy to love the people that you like, that are just likeable. So easy to love your friends. But, you know, God's saying, don't just love them. And that's good. Love them. Lead them. But we also need to be loving those in society who are outcasts and who other people normally wouldn't consider worth hanging around or leading. And I think that's, God's just incredible, isn't he? He just, everything seems sort of backward in God's kingdom. But really, it's the way that things work. You don't just love your friends, you love your enemies as well. And that's incredible. I think, if you think about how many times throughout the Gospels it says that Jesus was moved with compassion, I couldn't tell you, actually. I'm sure if I looked up on, I don't know, Bible Gateway or something, it would come up with how many times. But read the Gospels and see just how God loved people, how Jesus reached out to people. Read how many times it said Jesus was moved with compassion for people. There's one particular story, and I think it sort of illustrates the fact as well, and this is something that you've got to keep in mind. Sometimes loving people can be inconvenient. really can be inconvenient. That sounds awful, doesn't it? But really, sometimes it can be. And I love this. So in the Bible, there's this story where Jesus has just heard that one of his very close friends and relative, John, has been murdered. And it says, I'll read that to you. In Matthew 14, verse 13 to 14, this is what he says. Verse 13, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew to a solitary place. I mean, that's pretty natural, don't you think? You've just heard of someone that you know has died. You naturally want to be by yourself and, you know, be praying about it and just really mourning and grieving. And then it says, hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. I mean, that was really inconvenient. You know, Jesus was going somewhere so he could spend some time alone, so he could grieve the loss of someone really close to him. And yet when he saw the people, I think in one version it says they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them and he loved them and he healed their sick. And that's also the same time where he fed the 5,000 people. I mean, that's incredible, coming from a heart of love. And, you know, it can be inconvenient, but we've got to love people. We've got to love people if we're going to lead them. I really like in 1 Corinthians 13, it has the attributes of love. And I read this quite a while ago, probably about 3 months ago now, and really got challenged by it because I read over it quite a bit. Different things about love. I'm going to read it out to you again. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 8. I know there's a lot of Bible verses than this, but I figure it's better you hear God's words than just my own. So, verse 4, love is patient, love is kind. Now, let's think about those two for a moment. Love is patient. Put up your hand if you've ever been impatient with somebody. Put up your hand if you've been impatient lots of times with people. Yeah. And, you know, that's just the first one. When I was reading this, I'm like, oh, look at all this thing that love is. That's so cool. Then I'm like, love is patient. Oh, darn it. I have to be patient with people, even when I don't want to be. Inconvenient. Love is inconvenient sometimes. Love is patient. Love is kind. Put up your hand if you've ever been unkind to somebody. I'm not going to do that with all of them. But really, think about this. Don't think about it as a whole verse. Think about it in the little things. Love is patient. Love is kind. I think we really need to get this. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. I mean, this is incredible, man. I think I fail straight away. I think I failed on all of them many, many times. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. Get that word, always. Not sometimes. Not never. Always protects. Always trusts. Always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Man alive. That's all I can say whenever I read that. All of those little things, that's so challenging. And God's been challenging me on it. And, you know, if we're going to be effective leaders, we've got to be patient. We've got to be kind. We can't boast. We can't just be seeking our own ways. I like that one. It's not self-seeking. It is inconvenient sometimes. You know, we've got to get this. We've got to get it. And like I say, loving people automatically will flow from knowing God's love for us and standing in fear and awe of God. Yeah. And yes. If there's, I just want you guys to get it. And there's nothing I can say that will make you get it. I just really seek God and seek God's love and ask God to show you his love for you and his love for people. And, you know, I really, really believe if we don't get those three things, we just cannot be effective leaders. I really believe it's at the core of leadership. So this week, I want you to think, and this comes up to a weekly challenge to bless somebody. What can you do this week to love somebody, to show somebody God's love? And Ron had three challenges for us on Wednesday night, but I'm not going to say them all. If you want to know, ask one of your cell leaders. But this one weekly blessing. What can you do to show someone this week that God loves them and that you love them? I'm just going to put that out there, and I'm going to end on that. What I want to do is, I don't have my watch on, we're running out of time, but really what I want to do, just quickly, I want to pray for two people, for two lots of people. I want to pray firstly for those who, there's something in this tonight that has really stuck into your heart, and you're like, okay, yeah, I need to work on that, or I need to know God's love, or I need to love people, or I need to fear God. And if that's you, well, let's all close our eyes. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hands to God. And we're just going to pray. Praise you, God. God, I want to thank you so much for your love for us. Nothing, God, can compare to that. God, I thank you that you're just so big and that you're to be reverenced, God, that we're to stand in fear of you. But God, I thank you so much that you love us and that you want us to love people, God. And God, our heart's cry is to be an effective leader, God. We want to lead people to you. We want to see people come to know you. God, I pray that you'd be moving in our hearts and showing us your love tonight, God. That this week that we would be seeking you and that you would be showing us how much you love us, God, and how much you love people. God, break our hearts for people. Worship you, God. And the second group of people I want to pray for tonight is if you have never ever felt God's love before, you don't know what it's like to be in relationship with him, and you know that you're not in a right place with God at the moment, I want to pray for you too. And if that's you, just put up your hand for a moment. I'm not going to wait very long, but we do this every week. I want to give you the opportunity to know him. God, we want to stand in awe of you, God. We want to know you deeper. We want to know you more than we've ever known you before, God. God, I pray that you would come and that you would reveal yourself to us, and that God, that we would just know that we know that we know that you love us, and that's what our lives are based on, God. All glory to you, Jesus. Amen. Seriously, guys, seek God. Really seek his love for you. Know his love for you. If there's anything that you take away from you, it's that God loves you and that he wants a relationship with you. Yeah. I think these guys are kind of come and finish with a song.